God's grace, mercy, and peace belong to all of you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd invite you to turn with me inside your service folders to page number 7. That's where our sermon text is printed, Isaiah 61. We're going to focus primarily on the very first verse, although we'll make references to some other things. Here's verse 1. By the way, in order to understand this text, Isaiah wrote it 700 years before Jesus was born, but listen to it in your ears as though Jesus himself is speaking, because that's really what's happening. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me, Jesus, to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. These are the words of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, who was anointed by our sovereign God himself to bring good news to all people, my dear Christian friends. Well, it has happened again this Advent season. I have watched all these half-hour specials because I have kids, 4 and 7. I have heard it from the shock jocks and the radio announcers. I've read it in the newspapers. I've even heard it from the mouths of well-intentioned moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas. They say things like this: have you been naughty or nice? They say things like this: have you been good this year? Now, aside from what the obvious shaming and guilting that is supposed to what, elicit like good behavior? Is that what this is for? Or is the concept, have you been good this year? Have you been naughty or nice? Is it to suggest to the child that I don't really give you gifts because I love you? I give them based on your behavior. And if you've been naughty, well, then you should not expect even so much as one present under the tree. And if you get so much as a lump of coal, you should be happy. Conversely, if you're good, what is that? Work righteousness? You've earned and deserved the presents that I give you? Look, I'm not the only one who feels as though this is probably not fruitful for the establishment of faith in our hearts. But so that God can commandeer the silly language that sometimes we use, whether in jest or otherwise, I thought I would borrow this earthly or worldly phrase, have you been good this year, and use it as the theme to work our way through at least verse 1 and beyond in this sermon song. In Isaiah chapter 1, pretend as though God is the one who's asking you the question. Not grandpa, not grandma, not mom, not dad. Pretend as though God is asking you the question. Have you been good this year? Now, before you answer, keep in mind that God doesn't work on the basis of self-righteousness or work righteousness. He operates on the basis of grace. And before you answer the question, then, make sure you know that what God considers to be good is probably not the same thing that your mom and dad and grandma and grandpa consider to be good. Let's take a look at the verses. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Poor is not a word that anybody wants at Christmas time, is it? Because everything that has to do with Christmas is rich. The food is rich. At what other time of the year do we make fruitcakes? These 2,000 calorie per slice things that are filled with a density of stuff that is like, you know, enough food for like their whole diet for the day. Rich fruitcake, eggnog, fudge, chocolate covered everything. All of the food around Christmas time is rich. We like things to be rich around Christmas time. We like our pocketbooks to be rich around Christmas time, because we want to buy stuff for ourselves, for our loved ones, so that when we hit the new year, we have to make a resolution: I'm poor again. But that's not what the Bible says here, is it? The Bible doesn't say it's good to be rich. The Bible says it's good to be poor. Have you been good this year? Because it's really, really good at Christmas time to be poor. Because when you're poor, the Bible says, God has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. It's good to be poor at Christmas time, because then Jesus has come to you to bring to you, poor, miserable sinner, the good news of salvation. You remember that tax collector in the New Testament that Jesus talked about? I'm a poor, miserable sinner. He beat his breast. He laid low to the ground and prayed, Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's the one, Jesus said, who went home justified. He goes home forgiven. He has a need for the value of Jesus Christ. Conversely, the arrogant tax collector, he was rich in his own eyes. I thank you, God, I'm not like all these other people, these tax collectors and other worthless people. Sorry, Jesus has no good news for you, Mr. Self-Righteous Pharisee. It's good to be poor at Christmas time. Have you been good this year? Jesus, when he taught in the Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor because they will inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, heaven itself, the promise that comes to you at Christmas time through faith in that little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in the manger. When God asks you this Christmas, have you been good? Then say, yes, Lord. I'm a poor, miserable sinner, and I need the gift of salvation that brings to me the good news of my forgiveness at Christmas time. In the second place, it's not just good to be poor, but it's good to be brokenhearted at Christmas. Take a look at the verse. The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now, those of you who follow this health and fitness and you're into all this stuff, you probably know what all the big killers are, right? There's heart disease. There's smoking and, you know, things related to your lungs. There's obesity, diabetes, and so forth. And then the other great killer is Christmas. You know these statistics. I know you do. There's a disproportionately large amount of people who pass away at Christmas time. Suicide rate at Christmas time is disproportionately high. I'm sure that there's any number of you in here today who've probably lost people around this time of year. And I hear people talk about this because it hurts and it stings losing people. It doesn't just need to be loved ones. It could be a job. It could be my marriage or whatever is falling apart. I've lost my spouse, my family, my identity. Your hearts are broken around Christmas time. And then people say, I hate the holidays. No, you don't. You don't hate the holidays. You hate the fact that it reminds you of your loss. The holidays are God's holy days. They're no less holy because we've suffered any loss. In fact, they're even more necessary and needed and valuable for you. What you hate is the fact that Satan, in all of his evil wiles and woes, is driving his knife into your heart to remind you of the very fact that you have lost, to suck all the spiritual value out of the real meaning of Christmas. Because God says it right here. Jesus comes to heal the brokenhearted. You know what people need who suffered loss, whose hearts are broken because their marriages, their families, their jobs, their loved ones have been taken away? You know what they need? They need love. They need a friend. They need compassion. They need presence. They need time. They need patience. They need compassion. And that's what Jesus comes to bring. Jesus Christ, the baby in the manger, says, you're lonely because you miss your loved one. Well, that's who I am. Emmanuel. God is with us. God is with us. Jesus comes to say, I will stand by your side. I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I will be with you and I'll hold your hand. I'll pour the gospel salve over all of your deep-hearted wounds and I'll heal them. Jesus comes to heal the brokenhearted. For those of us who suffer any kind of loss, whatever it is, at any time of the year, but especially at this time, it is good. It is good to be brokenhearted because now your King comes to you to heal you where it hurts the most. Have you been good this year? Because Isaiah would maintain that it's good to be poor and it's good to be brokenhearted because now God can come and forgive and now God can come and heal. And the third thing that God says in Isaiah is that it's good to be captive and prisoner. He has sent me to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. Who in the world would say it's nice and good to be in prison around Christmas time? We kind of relish and cherish this thing in America where we're free. Although usually that is kind of a construct in our minds and we usually have comparative righteousness. We're free compared to the way in which other people live across the world or around the world. Okay, we'll grant that for the sake of argument. Because what the Bible talks about is not a human or an earthly sort of a freedom, or a governmental or a constitutional type of freedom. Whoop-de-doo. The bigger deal is whether you're free spiritually, whether you're free supernaturally. And here the Bible says, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now that sounds like a special kind of indentured servitude. The Bible says that the soul who sins is the one that will die, and that the wages of sin is death. The Bible says that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, just waiting for someone to devour. Which means that we've got real and powerful enemies at Christmas time and throughout the course of the year that seek not our freedom, that want to make us captive and put them in some kind of a jailhouse or a prison of sin. Well, no wonder why we feel so lousy around Christmas time. It's not just the loss, but it's my own personal guilt juxtaposed against the holiness of the Son of God in the manger. Is this the kind of freedom where we want to say, have you been good this year? Yes, Lord, I'm free. I live in America. Or would you rather say, no, Lord, every single day I wrestle with the captivity of my own sins and the influences of the devil and the terrible influences that the world presents in my face. I feel like I'm a slave to sin. Then Jesus says, I came just for you, friend. Jesus Christ came into the world, the Holy Son of God, so that He, not you, so that He, human being that He was, the incarnate Son of God, could go to the cross and die. So that He could be a prisoner to sin. All our sins laid on Christ's shoulders. So that He's the one who could suffer and die the abandonment of God in hell. So that Christ could call out, Lord, why have you forsaken me? So that He, Jesus Christ, could rise again on Easter morning and He could release us, not just from Good Friday sins on the cross, but He could release us from death. So that we can confess with the rest of Scriptures. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So that we can confess with the rest of Scriptures, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The devil who looked on and was drinking cognac on Good Friday because he thought he could win, now stands defeated because the Son of God has crushed the devil's head. And so there is no enemy, supernaturally, that can hang the pall or his veil over our heads, because at Christmas time we've been set free. This is exactly what Jesus said to His disciples. If you hold on to these teachings, then you're really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth. The truth of Jesus Christ crucified and risen, and that truth will set you free. Have you been good this year? It's good to be poor. It's good to be brokenhearted. It's good to be captive and prisoner. Because then Jesus can come and heal us where it hurts. Then our Savior is valuable for us. That's why John the Baptist prepared us by saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And that's why in verse 2, God finishes up, at least our devotion this morning, by saying, I want to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance for our God. You hear that? The day of vengeance, but the year of the Lord's favor. There are certainly those people who would like to say, I'm rich! I'm free! I have no problems at all! To which God will say, then you sure don't need my Savior. The day of vengeance will rest on them. However, God wants to be known for His grace. Not just a day of vengeance, but a year of God's favor. He so much more wants to be known for His grace and His mercy and His favor. He wants to come and forgive your sins, poor miserable sinner. He wants to come and heal and salve your broken hearts. He wants to come and release you from the prison of all your spiritual enemies. That's why He became the Son of God. And that's why when you say, have you been good this year? You say, dear Lord Jesus Christ, what I really need this year is your gift wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. That's why the angel's saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom God's favor rests. Christmas, Christ is here. It's the year of the Lord's favor. And for those of you who are in Christ, God's favor most certainly rests on you. Amen.